Listen, I get it. You like saving in Bitcoin. But check this out. You can actually complement your HODL position by investing in Bitcoin startups. If you want additional upside and enjoy learning about angel investing, you should check out Lightning Ventures. Lightning Ventures is a great way to stack real equity in Bitcoin-only companies. They've invested in businesses you've heard about on this show, including Azteco, CrowdHealth, and Swan Bitcoin. And Lightning Ventures makes it easy to get started in the world of early stage investing. The minimum investment is only $1,000 per deal, and you only invest in the deals that make sense to you. So, if you want to get a behind-the-scenes look at the startups you know and love, if you want a chance to support their growth, and if you want another opportunity to profit as the Bitcoin ecosystem develops, check out the 60-second application in the show notes to get started today in building a world that runs on better money.
Technology like Nostr Wallet Connect actually allows you to basically outsource the whole wallet functionality to the actual wallet. So people can bring their own wallet and you as an app only orchestrate basically the payment. You do not custody the payments anymore or touch any payment. And that's why, yeah, basically you remove yourself totally out of the perspective of a regulator, which is quite nice.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Moritz Kaminski, who's the co-founder of Albi, which is a browser extension and wallet that makes it easy to use Bitcoin over the Lightning Network on the web. They were also instrumental in the development of Nostr Wallet Connect, or NWC, which we talked about just a few weeks ago when we interviewed Pierre Corbin about his project, Flash. Just by way of reminder, or in case you didn't get to listen to the episode with Pierre, Flash enables subscriptions and other recurring payments over the Lightning Network. Of course, before we get to our interview with Moritz, we do have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And even before that, I want to take the opportunity to thank those who have supported the show on Fountain in the last week. Thank you to Tapatingo and No Waste BTC Signs for your boost and for streaming sats, respectively. If you would like to support the show as well, you can listen on Fountain and stream sats as you listen, or send a boost. And of course, if you send a message with that boost, I'll be sure to read it on the show. For this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight, we have the San Diego Bitcoiners. Every second Thursday of the month, the San Diego Bitcoiners gather at Quantum Brewery in Kearney Mesa to chat, learn, and exchange ideas about the future of money in America's finest city. Corey and the rest of the group welcome anyone and everyone except scammers, crystal ball readers, rug pullers, bad faith debaters, feds, and most altcoiners. Join them for the next meetup or keep up with goings-on via Twitter at SDBitcoiners or their meetup page. You can find those links down below, along with the link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Moritz right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Moritz, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Joss. Great to be here. Really looking forward.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah, let's go.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
That was back in university during my master's studies. I was working at the university together with a PhD student, and he told me about Bitcoin. And since then, I was fascinated about it, actually. Yes, and I also wrote my master thesis, and now I'm finally also working in Bitcoin.
I'm curious to know, when you heard about it, did you go straight into Bitcoin? Did you ever get attracted to altcoins? Was it all in from day one, or did you kind of have that typical journey where you had to figure out along the way that Bitcoin was where you should be putting your attention?
Yeah, I think that's the advantage. If you get into Bitcoin rather early, then there are no altcoins yet. So that's true. Really also before Ethereum. I mean, there were exciting or interesting projects around like colored coins, but they were all still built on Bitcoin, so still very close. Mm. So I never really had a like big detour of altcoins. Yes, I looked at it, but somehow never really was attractive to me.
Question number two is this: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
We are talking. So at Albi, we are talking a lot with businesses also to adopt Bitcoin payments, but also to consumers like normal users. And one thing that they always think of, like, Bitcoin is a scam. What I don't like about is that they usually say, and I think that's probably normal for Bitcoiner to understand that, but not for no coiners. So for them, it's like really Bitcoin is equal to crypto. And I would say that's actually not true at all, right? So, it just starts with the fact that you can actually send Bitcoin instantly between people of any amount. And this is hardly possible with any other cryptocurrency. And also Bitcoin is actually highly accessible. And what I mean is, for example, that you can run your own node and you do not have to invest huge amounts in hardware to be able to validate transactions. You can do that actually with a SSD card and a Raspberry Pi already, and I think these are things that are not really considered or respected by a lot of people, just because they don't know about that. And the other thing is that quite some people say, yeah, Bitcoin is very very consumes a lot of energy, and that is certainly true. But I would wish that they also put things into perspective. So there are actually reports that say more than 50% of Bitcoin mining is powered by renewable energy, right? And but still people say, okay, it consumes a lot of energy, but they actually do not ask themselves, okay, how much are like other financial systems consuming? And I would wish that they also would understood and have a more balanced opinion about that.
Mm. Yeah, I think Bitcoin mining and the energy usage conversation is extremely interesting. And I do wish that more people took time to understand how Bitcoin mining can be really beneficial, whether or not it's, you know, whatever percentage of renewables being used. It's just such an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe one for a different day. Question number three is, what is the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Yeah, it's actually using Bitcoin ultimately. I experienced that myself, that I learn most when I really use the stuff that we are working on at Albi, for example. It's just essential to everything, to get familiar with things, these things, to reach certain level of proficiency there. I mean, there are really several different ways how you can get into that. So, for example, just use a Bitcoin wallet to store your Bitcoin yourself and not leave them on an exchange, or, use a Lightning wallet for your daily spendings. And in general, really also spend Bitcoin. I mean, you can always rebuy them. Just really use them. Sign up for a Bitcoin app. The knowledge that you get by really using Bitcoin, it's also a lot more effective than just reading about it.
Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work at Albi recently?
We've been working on quite an interesting project recently, which is called NWC. Like, that's the abbreviation for Nosta Wallet Connect. Mm-hmm. And that's not directly related to Bitcoin, so that's why I can actually mention it here. But it will ultimately, or we believe for us and for the whole ecosystem, it will be essential. It will enable a lot more developer activity. It will make the usage of Bitcoin apps a lot better. Maybe we can talk some seconds about that later on. But this is really something that we believe, and also a lot of wallets, other wallets and apps believe, has huge potential and impact for the ecosystem going forward.
Hmm. And now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, which is this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Hard to say what's better and not. So, like, I personally would say I rather ask why not, because I would say I'm naturally a rather optimistic person. I'm quickly excited about new things. So I sometimes have to rather like stop myself and convince, okay, why should I actually not do that? Building a business, I think you need to be active, proactive, and have clear goals in mind that you want to achieve, and that's why it's rather the latter.
Meet Linkster, your premier Bitcoin-focused advisor. Linkster caters to businesses, institutions, family offices, and high-net-worth individuals. They merge your unique financial goals and needs with Linkster's Bitcoin expertise to craft your own sustainable plan to preserve and grow the value of your hard-earned profits and retained earnings. And Linkster is not just advice, it's tailored execution. Connect directly with the founder by visiting linkster.com. That's linkster.com. Linkster, secure your future with Bitcoin. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at @VelusCommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. So, Mort, we're here today to talk about Albi. We read a little bit in your bio earlier about Albi, but if you could share with us a little bit about the project, as well as how it's developed over the last couple of years, maybe, then we'll get into some of the ways that either businesses or individuals can be using it for themselves. But first of all, just what is the project and how has it developed in the last couple of years?
Yeah, Albi is actually it's a community project. Was built on a hackathon, and also has still today also an open source project. And the idea is really to bring Bitcoin to the web, right? So, yes, you can use Bitcoin for saving, which is a valuable use case, but Bitcoin is actually more than that, especially together with the Lightning Network. And we at Albi, we are providing tools for developers and consumers to use Bitcoin on the web, to send and receive Bitcoin easily, and be really like your companion when it comes to your daily spendings of Bitcoin.
So Tomek connected us. I interviewed him a couple of months ago for the Bitcoin Film Fest. His partner there, Pierre. Pierre, I had a follow-up interview with Pierre just a few weeks ago, and we talked about his new project, Pay with Flash. He talks about how Albi can integrate into that, and so he recommends Albi as a great pairing for Flash. It seems like Albi is prolific in the space. It can almost work with any other project. So, do you just see yourself as anywhere Lightning is being used on the web, Albi can and, in your opinion, should be there and be used?
Yes, definitely. So that's where we want to be. And that's also like our value proposition to users, but also, I mean, especially to developers, because I think ultimately we will only have more Bitcoin adoption if there are more projects building on Bitcoin, offering their own services, giving users a reason to actually use Bitcoin. Tomek and Pierre are both great guys, and Pierre discovered early what you can actually do with the set of tools that Albi is providing. Albi is basically powering Flash's APIs. And he made actually great use of it. Quite innovative service that he is providing with Flash, and that's because of the mentioned protocol Nostr Wallet Connect and the Lightning Wallet like Albi.
So since you brought up Nostr Wallet Connect again, I think this is a great time to kind of double down there. I was really intrigued to learn a little bit about how Nostr can be used in payments. But could you talk a little bit more about NWC? And you said that that's something coming from the Albi community, right?
Yes, basically, that's true. So it's initiated from Vitor from Amethyst and the team at Albi, basically. And it's an open protocol to allow apps to connect to wallets, or users bring their own wallet to apps to have native payments directly within an application. And it's called Nostr Wallet Connect, not because you need to have a Nostr account, but just because we use the Nostr Relay technology to enable communications between applications and wallets. And applications could be Flash, could be Amethyst, could be Deimos, can be a Nostr app, can be any other application as well. So there is no knowledge of what Nostr required here, just the relay technology that is used for this protocol. And yeah, we've been building this out recently with a bunch of other apps and wallet partners like Mutiny, for example, Umbrels, StardOS is supporting this. And I think there are already more than 20 apps also supporting this. I'm personally super excited about that, because from a developer perspective, if you build an app and if you build a payment app and you ultimately will do that if you integrate Bitcoin, right? You always face this challenge of, okay, do I actually want to custody funds of users? Do I want to request them to deposit money first on my app? Because then you are quickly facing some regulatory questions, and this will come with cost. This will come with quite some headache ultimately, where developers are not really, they don't really know how to deal with that. So better avoid that, right? And technology like Nostr Wallet Connect actually allows you to basically outsource the whole wallet functionality to the actual wallet. So people can bring their own wallet, and you as an app, you only orchestrate basically the payment. You do not custody the payments anymore or touch any payment. And that's why, basically you remove yourself totally out of the perspective of a regulator, which is quite nice.
Yeah, and I'm curious, do you see regulators having an issue with that? Or is this just a nice way to sidestep that whole issue? Do you foresee having to deal with that, having to deal with regulators about this in the future?
Given the actual regulations right now, the current rules, certainly not. But yes, I mean, rules change over time. They get more strict. Maybe they also get less strict. We will see. But if we just take the definitions of today's rules, then there's certainly no problem using that, because you are not custodying funds of users today. You are basically using existing web technologies and leave all like the keys on the side of the user and leave it up to them to actually make the payment, to actually receive a payment.
So I'm not super technical, and I think a good bit of my audience probably isn't either. Although, you know, as you come to Bitcoin, if you start listening to people, podcasts like Stefan Levera or whoever else, you kind of, you get in that world a little bit more, but I'm very much at the point where I'm hardly dipping my toes in. And I'm guessing there are at least some people listening to this that will feel that way as well. Is there a way that you could kind of describe how Nostr Wallet Connect works using another service? I'm thinking like maybe Pay with Flash, since we're sort of familiar with that, or something else that you think might illustrate it better to help people who are less technically minded kind of understand how it works a little bit more.
Yeah, so from a user perspective, it's actually quite simple. You need to sign up with a wallet that is Nostr Wallet Connect enabled, like Albi, for example. And all you do is then you access an app like Flash and you connect your wallet. And that's it. And the big difference to the previous model is just you don't need to create a new wallet and deposit money into Flash, for example. But you can just bring your own wallet and connect it. It's a little bit like sign in with Facebook or connect your GitHub account, for example. It's just, sign in with Albi or connect your Albi wallet, and you can have then native payments without switching apps and such.
Now, when it comes to Albi itself, my understanding is you can connect a Lightning node, but there's also a custodial option. Is that correct?
Yes. So if we look at the product landscape of Albi today, then at the core, there is an Albi account. And this Albi account for now still is a managed wallet. Mm-hmm. And you can connect that to the Albi browser extension. Mm. But you can also connect other wallets, nodes to the Albi extension according to your own preferences. And as I mentioned, there is this web account, the Albi account, which is a managed wallet. And what we are now working on is basically giving users a way to connect their own Lightning node, so that users will be able to upgrade their Albi account and run their own Lightning node in a self-hosted way in the future.
So I think a lot of people listening to this will probably see how Albi could potentially benefit their business for payments, even connecting it with Flash or something like that. If you were to create sort of a tech or services stack that would incorporate Albi that business owners could use, what guidance would you give to help them think through what they need to be setting up to kind of get the most from Albi and whatever else, whatever other services might pair well for a business in particular?
I think like first and foremost, they need to have sort of a use case right in place for Lightning payments, what is typically like instant payments, which is like micro payments. And podcasting is, for example, one of them. And there are actually quite some podcast companies that integrate the tools, APIs from Albi. And what we really make it a lot easier for, where we make it easier for these developers is really they do not need to manage their wallet actively or their node actively, right? That's completely automated away by Albi. And they only need to see how they can basically implement the payment functionality into their applications, like Flash did, for example, like podcast companies do. What we then usually provide is also guidance around these protocols, like NWC, for example. Or in podcasting, there is also an open standard that needs to be followed, which is called a value tag, for example. And with that, they can actually really it's often just a matter of days instead of weeks to implement payment functionalities into their applications.
You mentioned podcasting. We're on a podcast right now. What are some of the services that have been most open to working with Albi, incorporating Albi, that people who might want to start a podcast in the future could be thinking about?
So I can definitely recommend a page, which is podcastindex.org. They nicely summarize all the services that are that follow this podcasting 2.0 specification. And what it is basically, it's a set of features. It's also a community actually that wants to improve podcasting with new features. And I'm talking about these micropayments, for example, but there are also like transcripts, chapters, all these sort of features that they propose, and then they are adopted by podcast hosting companies like RSS.com, for example. Blueberry is another example, Captivate and such. And on the other side, there are also podcast players, right? They need to play together well, so that someone who sends a payment from a podcast player to a podcasters on a podcast hosting service, that they can also receive that. I think what you mainly right now see is that quite well coverage. I think like two or three of the top 10 podcast hosting companies already support Bitcoin payments, and it's more than 10, 11 or so podcast players that allow streaming money to their favorite podcasters.
So I use Captivate. This is going to be something that a lot of people who aren't podcasters may not care too much about. But if anyone ever wants to have a podcast, I would highly recommend Captivate in a lot of ways. They just offer a lot of great features, in my opinion. One thing that has bothered me, and this is probably true with a lot of podcast hosts like Captivate, is that even if there's like this value for value capability, it's not, Bitcoin's not really incorporated into a lot of their offerings. For instance, they allow for memberships and tips and things like that. They give you the opportunity to integrate with Stripe, but I would love to integrate with a wallet like Albi and let people pay through Captivate, you know, my podcast for different things. I'm obviously a big fan of Fountain as well. People can stream sats and we talk about that every episode. But if I could have some sort of like membership or tips on Captivate where they can pay in Bitcoin, that would be awesome. And it sounds like you're in conversation with, or at least aware of, someone like Captivate, maybe others who are incorporating the value for value model. I'm kind of curious, do you see a day in the future where connecting to an Albi wallet is a natural thing that these hosts provide?
100%, and some of them already do. So in the case of Captivate, I know they actually support the value tech, but it's still manual. So you need to manually enter your wallet credentials, and then you are able to put this tag into your RSS feed and then receive the payments. But there are also others like RSS.com, for example, where it's really just like, connect Albi account, 1-2 clicks, and then it's all automated in the background, and you are able to receive boostergrams from your listeners. I think that's just the very first step. And what you then also see maybe this year and the upcoming months is, for example, that they might even integrate Flash, right, that we talked about, because Flash provides this subscription functionality for Bitcoin payments, which hasn't been possible before. But now you have a nice stack of, okay, there's Albi, which provides the wallet and some APIs. And then there's a logic of an API layer with Flash, for example, and that can actually be integrated even in a real application, like user-facing application at the end of the day, like Captivate, for example. And I think this is then quite powerful, because, you know, like every layer will make it at the end easier for the next one to integrate things and abstract away the complexity. And I think ultimately that also speaks for the whole Lightning ecosystem, where we started like 2 years ago and where we are today. It's quite nice progress.
Now, when it comes to Lightning, a lot of people have been talking about, I say a lot, there have been conversations increasingly about the cost of Lightning. And previously, people would be talking about how it's, you know, cheap, nearly free. And that's not always the case. Do you see that? I guess moving forward, should we expect there to be a lot of custodial options that allow for these, you know, the sats to flow cheap and free, and then, you know, have like the non-custodial options, just the expectation is it expect a cost? I guess really my question is, how should people be thinking about Lightning and how it fits into the future of payments? Should we be looking for other things, or do you think Lightning is going to remain that primary peer-to-peer option for the foreseeable future?
I would say definitely for the next few years. I mean, Lightning is out there. If we look at the Lightning reports from River, for example, then you can really see like the adoption. And that's just a very, very fundamental trend, and it won't change. And it will be just other solutions. There will be other solutions, but they just take time. And that's why I think Lightning is just right now, at least when it comes to Bitcoin, like payments, the way to go. I think Lightning ultimately is extremely strong when it comes to instant settlement between big nodes, basically. So, for example, between a custodial wallet provider and an exchange, or even between exchanges. This is where I think Lightning with this concept of payments channel is just extremely strong. But if we look at the different implementations that are out there, so they are actually, they have like very, very strong communities now. Or they could form strong communities throughout the last years, and they are also progressing, and they are actually exactly tackling these topics that you mentioned around, okay, what happens if Bitcoin on-chain fees increase? Then we suddenly face more expensive channel opening transaction, channel closure transactions and such. But they will come up with solutions, and they are already coming up with solutions to reduce these costs. And that's why I'm very, very optimistic about that.
I know you're in this world a whole lot more than I am, just kind of in Lightning and other developments surrounding Lightning. So without making necessarily a value judgment on what other options you would like to see or you think we should see, are any of the current projects out there, I'm thinking Cashew, Fediment, Arc, all of these I've heard a little bit about. I'm not as aware of them probably as you are. Do you see any one of those kind of taking an early lead, at least when it comes to that next layer or level of adoption?
I think they definitely have the potential to support like the payment layer of Bitcoin. But I think it's still too early to say that some of them is taking the lead. I think some of them still have to really grow out of this enthusiasm state that they are currently in. And some of them even have to like really come to existence and not just exist on a white paper. But ultimately, it's good. It's really, really good to have these, I think, because we will learn a lot and then see, okay, where we can actually apply them. And I believe like there can be very, very interesting combinations. And you already see that today with eCash and Lightning, or Fediment and Lightning, and different Lightning bridges and such. So they will complement each other very well, I think, in the future.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about a variety of different things today, and I'm curious, do you have any final thoughts before we finish up the interview, or maybe something that we didn't get a chance to talk about that you think is worth mentioning at this point in time? And then also, if you would, share with people where they should go if they want to keep up with what you're doing or what's happening at Albi.
No, I think it's mainly really that what we talked about. I think we touched on, okay, how Albi's caring about the, like developers in the ecosystem, about users. Unfortunately, we are still invite only, but I'm very optimistic that we can actually open up Albi account creation within the next weeks. So yeah, I can just encourage everybody to stay tuned. They can follow us. We have a Twitter channel at GetAlbi. We have a Telegram channel with the same name, basically. It would be cool to see many of them there.
Very cool. Well, Moritz, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Moritz, you can find those links down in the show notes. And definitely check out Albi and the projects it powers, such as Flash. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, thank you. If you want to take a further step in your support for the show, you can help us grow by listening on Fountain, a value-for-value podcast app on iOS or Android. If you hear something you like that you disagree with or anything else, you can share it by sending some sats and adding a comment with your thoughts. Some of you have already done this, and I appreciate it. I'm going to begin reading your boosts on upcoming episodes, so if you have some insight or value to add, let the people know. Getting started with Fountain is easy. You can add Bitcoin to your Fountain wallet by using your fiat accounts or any Lightning wallet. And one of my favorite features is that once you're using the app, you can earn sats just by listening on Fountain. Check out the link in the show notes to get started with Fountain today.